I am not my thoughts. I am the observer of thought. Our thoughts do not define us. It's the thoughts we choose to believe that define us.
Sit with that for a second. That's Rochelle Chase, and when I heard her say that, it resonated with me. Rochelle recently moved to Midway. She's a mother, a podcaster, a life coach, and someone who spent 22 years in the grip of an eating disorder. Not because she wasn't trying to heal, but because she says she was fighting the wrong battle. Among the things that ultimately helped set her free was a truth so simple most of us overlook it. She had power over her thoughts. She just didn't know it yet. Now, this isn't really a story about disordered eating. It's about what happens when you finally stop running from your pain and turn toward it instead. About the courage it takes to break open, heal, and learn that becoming whole is an ongoing process. And honestly, it's a story about all of us. Rochelle grew up as the oldest of five children, eventually settling in Sandy, Utah, raised in a loving home. She came into the world with what she calls a very tender heart. And from a young age, she absorbed a belief that would quietly shape the next several decades of her life.
From a young age, believed I needed to be perfect in order to be loved and accepted.
That belief became a weight she carried through childhood, through marriage to a wonderful man, through raising five children of her own across Utah, Phoenix, and New York. For more than two decades, she searched for answers, not realizing what she was running from was deeper than any health program could reach.
I was trying to go to all these different sources to find how do I manage my pain and how do I learn how to connect with others and manage our pain. It's not something that is necessarily taught to us as a child of how to manage pain. And another thing that I think is a hiccup that is causing a lot of grief and pain, especially in this young generation that is rising, is not knowing how to connect, because connection is the opposite of addiction.
We all have our ways of numbing the pain: food, shopping, screens, busyness, substances. But Rochelle says the longing underneath is often the same.
I fought so hard with the things that I knew of what I could use to change, to get out of this eating disorder mess that was obviously, which addiction is a distraction from pain, right? It's get me out of this. And so that became my distraction strategy. And basically because I just didn't learn how to allow myself to feel every emotion, and so I stuffed it instead.
It wasn't until her late 30s that something began to shift when she found a women's group. And in that room, for the first time, she felt something she hadn't known she desperately needed: safety.
I think the greatest thing for me in going to these women was that I knew I was safe to be vulnerable. Choosing to be vulnerable and opening up our heart, there has first got to be a space of safety. And because I didn't feel that there were other people in my world that I could open up my heart to and be real and raw and honest in all its messiness, in all its humanity, like jealousy, anger, you know, whatever that may be, revenge, whatever those feelings may be, emotion just is. It does not define our worth.
From that place of safety, the real work began. She started building awareness, setting timers on her phone that would go off at random points throughout the day, pulling her attention back to what was happening in her mind. Then came what she called her little black book.
I drew prison bars on the front of it, and I would start writing all of my negative thoughts about myself in this little black book. And it was a physical representation of something I was trying to do psychologically and emotionally and mentally is, okay, these negative thoughts do no longer have permission to control me. So I'm putting them in a prison.
What she began to notice was a pattern. Awareness itself began to change things. Not all at once, and not perfectly, but enough that she could see the shift as it was happening. I asked Rochelle about the misconceptions people held about her during her most difficult years.
That I was prideful, selfish, egotistical, because I was quiet, and I think that is a generalization and assumption that quiet, more introverted people, you know, they're just prideful and stuck on themselves. That one hurt because that was not where my heart was. I felt very misjudged and misunderstood because there wasn't the curiosity coming towards me of, okay, tell me why. Help me see you. Help me understand where you're coming from. It was just the judgment on my behavior.
She believes one of the biggest pitfalls we fall into is judging behavior and using it to define someone's character, instead of asking questions that draw us closer to the person behind it.
You cannot not love another person if you know them, if you know their hearts. It's just impossible because you gain understanding about them, why they do what they do, where they're coming from, their backstory. And I realized that that was not happening for me. And therefore, I felt shut down, judged, all those different things.
She knows what it feels like to be completely unreachable herself, which is exactly why she's so passionate about how we get through to people who seem closed off, who are living inside their own silos of pain.
I really believe it begins with curiosity. But if I haven't started being curious with myself, then that will not be a place that I will want to go with other people. The idea of curious compassion or compassionate curiosity is precursor to any type of connection.
And then she learned 5 words that changed how she showed up for people.
I became a life coach, and then I went and worked with hundreds of young adults in a mission for our church. And time again, there were common things. First was, you don't understand how I feel or what I've been through. And if I would go to, tell me what that feels like.
Not fixing, not advising, not relating it back to her own experience, just listening to understand.
Then not only can I connect to them, but they are finally feeling seen for what's going on in their hearts instead of what is external. They're being seen for who they really are.
She describes those 3 years as sacred and stretching and depleting. She came home last year with ulcers. Now Rochelle faces a different kind of work, learning to rest. She's battling a mindset that if she isn't of service, she's selfish. But she's learning that without slowing down, we don't just wear out, we burn out. So she and her husband went looking for somewhere to breathe. When they first drove into the Heber Valley, they just knew.
But when we came home and we came into Midway, I can't even tell you the feeling that came over us. It was just, this is a place of healing. You drive into this valley and there's something about this valley that is special. And I really do consider it a sanctuary.
She's careful not to let Midway become a metaphor for arrival, because healing doesn't have a finish line. It's ongoing. Even now, she holds the sorrow and the joy together. But beneath it all, she has discovered something that lasts.
So what makes you the most hopeful today, looking back on your journey, Everything you've learned, Rochelle, who Rochelle is today, what brings you hope about the future?
Well, that I'm sitting here today, quite frankly, that I do believe in God. I believe in a higher power that I have looked to for strength. And because I recognize that it's not all on me, that perfection is not all about me doing it all. It's actually me surrendering. It's actually me saying, you know what? I don't have all the power to do that. I can't control that thing out there, but I can choose in here.
Surrender. I've never loved that word. It always felt a little like losing. But hearing it from someone who spent decades in the grip of perfectionism and addiction, it lands differently. For Rochelle, surrender isn't defeat. It's a doorway. And on the other side of it, something finally can begin to grow.
Safety is the fertile soil of change. Compassion, love, is the raindrops that soften that soil to receive a new seed of truth. I have to make the choice to break open my soil, my heart. If I don't break open, then there will never be room to receive. That breaking open is painful. It's not easy, but I am here as a witness that I am here because I've chosen to break open. I've chosen to accept my humanness. I've chosen to feel pain. And that is the reassurance that I'm going to be okay.
Rochelle knows that healing doesn't mean pain disappears. And still, there is laughter, family, and a quiet conviction that she doesn't have to have it all figured out to be whole. Healing starts inside, but it doesn't stay there. Maybe the most courageous thing we can do is simply ask, "Tell me what that feels like." And then, really listen. This is Amber Borowski-Johnson for KPCW's Community Campfire.